Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and welcome to the TGMN. It's the Michael Gay Network, and tonight I want to play the music of an amazing artist that has been so kind and so amazing to I keep saying amazing, I gotta. But I want to play the music of the artists that have been time to join us. Oh, I'm sorry. Time is now 6:03 p.m. on the East Coast and 3:03 p.m. on the West Coast. Today is 6/5/2021. And looking at, I had a whole month that, you know, when you pay for something, and use it, right? So I have to use this month I have left. The 50th show anniversary since leaving the J. King Network is so awesome, and time flies so, I mean, it's so quickly, you know, and I was thinking about the fact that, you know, Michael, you got another month left, or another month left, and I'm like, crap, I got to do something. And maybe this was for a reason to have this show and this whole month coming up. I'm going to let you guys know what's coming up the rest of the month. I will not be on every show after that, but that's not what I plan on doing. I dropped the mic. People said, well, no, you just hung it up. Yeah, that might be true. But still, and again, I want to do this, and we're going to do a little topic of another individual that's going to be calling in. I want to use up all my time, okay? Bottom line, use what you pay for. So I have an individual that's going to be chiming in, and we're going to talk about a certain topic that I think everybody can relate to. Say that there were some cats that were on the show, and this was before I went independent, but it was still the Michael Gay show, right? And these guys came on and shared their music. They worked together. And they're known as 3TO during the show. So I want to go ahead and start it off with them. And then after that, I'm going to go back to back until the individuals who are going to be coming on the show chime in. But I want to play some of the best music that has ever been on this show. So with that being said, thank you. God bless you. But check this out. These cats, 3TOP, they got so much great music. The original band. The original band from Tony, Tony, Tony. You guys ought to know the whole story. You should have, as many times that we've talked about it and that we've shared, that you should have seen it and it's still available. You know, what is it called? Loyalty, no royalty. It's still available. An amazing video, amazing documentary. I let you know how some things work in this business, in the music, radio, it doesn't matter, but this one was awesome, but that's what happens from time to time of an artist that you think they got $1 million homes and everything, or they got this and that and the other. I can tell you about a bunch of cats with some of them have been on the show and shared their stories and told you that if we were, come on, man. You see them on stage, but they go home to a house that is probably worse than yours. That's a fact. I've actually seen it. And that's the reality of, well, at that time, of the music industry, but I think it still exists. That's how come you have certain artists now with technology don't trust record labels. They don't trust them. They'd rather do it on their own. And many of them have been very successful. In fact, I'm sure many will continue to be successful. They may not get that crowd from overseas because that's one thing that the big major conglomerates, what they call it, could get you overseas. But when you think back in time, there were artists who made songs just to get from one coast to the other, right? Your song could be a hit in this region. We're not talking about over in London and this and the other. If you had a hit song on, you know, the East Coast, New York and everything, making some money back then, that was big time to many artists. And then it crosses over to the West Coast. Oh, big time. Oh, everybody's hearing my song all over the United States. But a lot of those artists did not realize that there are people whose songs are being played in other countries and making big money. That's what was happening. And it still can happen for a lot of artists. But with that being said, let me go ahead and play this track by 3TOB. I got a bunch of stuff where I'm just so thankful that these individuals have made it a point who have been just so generous guests of the show. So I have to be respectful and play their music on this show. I'm going to share a few stories here and there that I never shared on the show. I have 1 month. I have 1 month to do a lot of things. I want to give you guys a surprise, though, of next week. There's a very special guest that's coming on, and a very special guest is going to do the interview. Yeah, it's going to be fun. I talked to both of them today, and they're looking forward to it, and I'm like, wow, this should be great. Next Saturday will be great. So without further ado, as they say, here's 3TOB.
I want.
And she was moved to tears. We're all talking to each other. And she said, we need to do this more often. Yes, we do. I'd love for other folks to do the same, to get this thing going. We have to support each other. We have to, you know, show love to each other. And that's one show that I will always say is so epic, and I was just so honored that it was on this platform. So without further ado, let me go ahead and open up the mic, because, like I said, this show was not really planned, but I'm going to keep playing more music of the amazing guests, the new artists, the rappers, the R&B that have came on and talked with us. So, but speaking of us, here's one of us. You there?
I'm here. Who is this? Did you mention me? It's me. How are you, Mike? I'm good, man. I'm just cooking.
You're cooking? What you cooking, bro?
Oh, brother, I'm roasting some beets, right? And I'm roasting some sweet potatoes. And I got a mixed green with collard greens, kind of a stir fry with collard greens, broccoli, kale, what is that? It's got shredded Brussels sprouts, and it's got cabbage all mixed in. And I got some chopped chicken under the bottom of it. So that's what I'm doing right now, and it's in there steaming as we speak, and the roasted beets and everything is in the oven. So that's what I'm doing, brother. Putting my din-din together, you know.
All right, my brother. I appreciate you chiming in and listening.
Yeah,
to
I didn't know.
Show.
I guess I forgot that there. You know that you had thing on. That you had shut everything down.
Yeah. That's how come last Saturday was our 50th anniversary. Ever since we left the J. King Network,
okay,
our 50th anniversary. But as I said, that I did not really look at the clock where. Well, Michael, you already paid for another month, and I'm like, oh crap, I did. So I'm not going to just throw it away, right? And
right.
So I said, oh, all right. So I still got to do four more shows for the month of June. So
okay.
I said, okay, I'm going to play the music of the guests that have been on the show, and anybody else who to come on and promote. Of course, you got your book out and everything. I mean, but yeah, I shut it down. And the thing is that some folks, when I said that, I guess you didn't catch it, I said I'm going to drop the mic, but everybody says, no, you're just hanging it up. You can always grab it. Don't pick it up. Just grab it. But right now, I just got to deal with certain things I have to deal with, and then, you know me, I'm just going to be that type of guy where I'm going to go ahead and be respectful to everybody and see what God leads me to the next time. But it's always going to be what I'm doing now, right? So right now, what I'm going to do is, for this Saturday, I want to go ahead and play a lot of the music of the great guests, the new artists that we've had, who came on to the show now. There were artists who came on the show the first time they ever done an interview was on this show. So that was amazing. That they came to our platform. So that's what I'm doing, is doing that. But we're going to, I mean, I do have some folks who said that they want to chime in, and one brought up a topic. I said, okay, if you're going to have a topic, we're going to talk about customer service. Because now, since the pandemic over with, you know, what do you think about customer service? I don't think it's changed. So let me do this. I'm going to go ahead, play another song, give folks time to chime in, and see what you think and your opinion. And I know you're going to have a lot to say about it. It ain't got to be just in the store. It's just even on the internet. The customer service that you get. So as I said, Today is the 5th of May, 2021. You're listening to the TMGS, or the TMGN, which is the Michael Gay Network. And from this point on, I'm going to pass it over to other individuals who want to do the show. And we do have one that's coming next week. We have a very special guest, Mr. Cornelius Bim. Oh, wow, this is going to be awesome. In fact, we're working on it being on Zoom. So once we get a confirmation of where we can have hundreds and hundreds of folks there, I will definitely make sure that you know about it, right? It's going to be great. Let's listen to another track here, and we'll be right back. Here's Akbar the Great with YRBG. What does that stand for? Young, right, Black Girl. We'll be right back.
There's something about you.
This is not an interview. I ain't asking none of them open-ended questions. Beta conversation spiritual. I don't believe in miracles. The aboriginal tapped it to the pineal just to paint the proper visual. We can take it to Timbuktu, an ancient chemist. Walk through the exhibit, see evidence that you did it. It's evident you a star, Mrs. Ebony Brown. Your body really the kingdom, your fro is really your crown. And they just trying to keep you down, but I ain't here to harm you. Stick by my side, I got that armor. Stick to my side, good luck chain. You the one I'm charming. No, I got your back like Charmin. You can be my Winnie Mandela. Won't let the devil cause trauma. Everywhere they go, they bring drama. Nation building time. A young nigga need to get in the farm. And it's sad cause we don't control nothing, but we control something. And that's me and you. The only thing left is we gotta get in tune with the Most High. This mansion has many rooms. Elevate the kids by telling the truth. It's no Saint Nick and no fairy tooth. Black's not an offspring, it's the only rule. Young righteous black girl, I'ma marry you. Young righteous black girl, I'ma marry. Look, I got a question for all of us out there dealing with self-hate, too afraid to address it. First step, just confess it. We all niggas just dealing with 400 years of death and oppression. Being black is a blessing. They say it's a curse. Gotta alter the script just so they can put themselves first. Heads in the clouds with no morals, so your heart's in the dirt. They claim reverse racism when you started it first. But we started you first. Respect your mother and father so your days be long. Probably wouldn't see you tomorrow. One book of math we gave these people to borrow. Strange fruit swinging cause all they gave us was sorrow. Take a look through the lens. If the head ain't happy, I don't even wanna bring it in. And no, I don't mean to offend, but I love myself, so I guess it is what it is. Yo, this is not an interview. I ain't asking none of them open-ended question. Beta conversation spiritual. I don't believe in miracles. The aboriginal tapping to the pineal just to paint the proper visual. We can take it to Shangri-La, an ancient Nubia, where you live life in the past. That shit ain't new to you. Young righteous black girl, goddamn, you're beautiful. Young righteous black girl, goddamn. Young righteous black girl, goddamn, you're beautiful. Young righteous black girl, goddamn. Records and bear your girl like an ex-Benedict. And please act around, but we been legit.
Yeah, we been legit. I don't do strangers. My city is dangerous. Please watch what you claiming. Young niggas posted up toting them bangers. If you see red dust, they aiming. Hanging out wish when they letting them go. No OGs here letting them know. Just dope fiends that play with they nose and the saga continues. You know how it goes. I had to move different to get it. Play my position. Summers and Cincy, I never forget it. The money we getting, a young nigga cashing them checks. Got them looking. Just to get paper, them chances we took them. And elevators is broke, got a footing. Go ahead, take them steps, boy, you gotta keep moving. Yeah, you gotta keep moving. That's just some shit that we gotta keep doing. This is the Odyssey, just call me Hercules. I killed this beat, this is murder and first degree. Premeditated, come get you like groceries. Hold up, I'm just popping my shit. At your door like you're late on the rent. Ask your girl about the pics that she sent. From her OnlyFans and I did pay a cent. For sugar and spices and say my pain is not that deep. If I get gunned out for some bullshit, I want you to turn this bitch into Haiti. I'm so appalled, they love us with balls. But back in the day, they would hack off our balls. Niggas get lynched just for using their stalls. Running from God, got them flying to Mars. But you can't escape it, and all of his greatness. I'm telling the haters for their vacation. A fiery lake pit and dinners with Satan. I just pay a dime, boy, that used to be mine. Back in the day when Corona and Lime would play on my phone.
Welcome back, and you're listening to the TMGN, not the TMGS, but it is the TMGN. It is the Michael Game Network as of now, and want to thank Simon Schiff. Simon, hey, man.
Yes, sir.
Let me ask you a question here. Because I see that an individual who really gave me the idea or really shared this. As we were talking about the topic, I think would be interesting to talk about is customer service. Do you get good customer service when you go to a store or when you order online, or is it getting better or worse? Share with us your experience.
Well, I've had bad and I've had good. I've had, you know, where, and it's usually after I complain, then I get the good service. You know, if I see something that didn't work right for me, and then once I get in their ass, then they my friend, you know. And sometimes you don't want to be that way. I mean, I try to work with everybody. You know, if I order something and it doesn't, you know, I think I ordered something from Amazon, and it was supposed to be two, and they probably sent me one. And they didn't send me the other one, and then all of a sudden they said, screw it, they gave it to me for free, both of them. When I didn't get an order, they screwed my order up on it for Amazon, they gave it to me free, the whole deal. Said, hey, take it right there, Mr. Ship. Sorry for the inconvenience. Boom, boom, you know. But you have to say something. You know, you just can't, you know, it's usually, I mean, and then I've had, like, you know, who is that that you have to get on them? Oh, Spectrum. You know, I've always had to deal with. I got to call Spectrum again because they keep raising my price. Now my internet then went up again. I'm saying to myself, oh, okay, now y'all ain't going to keep doing this to the kid. You know, y'all not going to keep, you know, jacking up my bill. So the minute I call them up and jump in their ass, they're going to say, oh, well, let us give you blah, blah, blah. Because they don't want to lose that business, you know.
Right.
They don't want to lose that. So, you know, you don't want to, and I don't yell or scream. Or I just tell them, dude, I can't, you know, you can't keep jacking my bill up. You know, you can't do that. I need the bill to be such and such. And when it's cool that way, hey, you still got me as a customer. But if you turn around and bump it up another 40, 50 bucks like my renter people did. Now, it's funny about as far as my rent goes, I put in for a new air conditioner. And that puppy sitting right here, I'm looking at it. Now, they got to come by and put it in. But I sure told them that, hey, bro, y'all need to get me a new air conditioner because, you know how it is, Mike, in the San Fernando Valley. When that heat comes, you know, you want your air conditioning to work. You don't want it to be blowing out no hot air. And you're talking all this, oh, yeah, well, you know, all this stuff about it. And you're not getting what you're supposed to be getting, you know. So, yeah,
in the San Fernando Valley, you got to have AC. You can't have a swamp cooler. And a lot of people don't understand what a swamp cooler is. I'm serious. You know what a swamp is.
No, they don't. Cooler. They don't.
They don't understand what a swamp cooler is. And especially here in the South, I know they don't know because they don't have them here. Now, it might work good if they actually want to put it on their roof and cut a hole at the ceiling. It might work good here. But in California, that's the norm, especially in San Bernardino, almost every house. If somebody comes from the South and drives down the streets in San Bernardino and see this big box thing with louvers in it, they would think, wow, that's a big AC unit. How come they got it on the roof? That ain't an air conditioner. Well, you can call it one, but it's called a swamp cooler. Right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
People don't understand the difference.
People who have those, you know, usually are in the South or the Midwest, because the Midwest, they got basements. You know,
where it's cooler.
Out here. Yeah. And,
well, I've never seen a swamp cooler here in the South. I've never seen a swamp cooler on a roof here in the South since I've been living here. I've never seen a swamp cooler on the roof. Never.
Oh, okay.
At least in Georgia. Now, maybe further down South, you probably see them, like in Louisiana or something. But I've never seen a swamp cooler on a roof. You know what I'm talking about, that big box with
the
water goes through and the fan turns, and then that thing is set up on the roof where there's a hole in the ceiling when you go inside the house. And what it does when you turn it out on, you know, that the fan turns and it pushes the cold air from the water, because the water is filtering and it's being poured over the louvers, which has filters in it, push the cold air from the cold water into the house. These fans are really, you know, as you know, very high power fans, you know, but they're not air conditioners. There's no Freon, nothing like that, whatever you think, but this is just water cooling.
Right.
And folks don't understand that. So with that being said, but back to the customer service thing. So you said that you do get some to work with you and everything, but you ever had, I mean, if you can share, what is one of the worst experiences that you've ever had?
Where I had some people that just seemed like they didn't give a damn what went down when I was trying to, you know, I had a problem with my computer, you know, and the guy said, well, he wanted to sell me all of this, you know, if you sign up for our program, it'll blah, blah, blah. And I already got your program. I am here because whatever you then said is what your program will do, it has not done. You have not. I'm paying for something, and you guys are supposed to fix it. And we went round and round until his buddy came out and said, hey, Mr. Ship, how you doing? Oh, yeah, what? Oh, what's going down? Oh, okay. And it was all in approach. You know, the key to customer service is your approach, that as long as the guy in customer service stays calm, the customer will stay calm. If you start to lose a gasket and he starts to lose a gasket, especially if I'm not being insulting, you know, then we should be cool. And we should be able to take care of the situation. You know, we need to be able to figure something out. But we should not be, it should not be where you and I should be, you know, having to continue to go at each other, you know, and
right.
You know, going at things. And if I got to do all that, then, hey, this is going to be a problem. You know, mm-hmm. so that's about as worst I've gotten. Because usually, I stay pretty cool when it comes to coming to doing things, you know.
Well, I think personally, I'm waiting for them to hit the number one and share their story. But the thing is that which I'm going to get back into the music, because I really didn't want to get into the topic, but this is something I really want to hear you guys and anybody that's listening to the show, because right now, as we mentioned before, you look at how people are acting crazy after the pandemic on the airplanes. They're punching out the teeth of individuals who are trying to get you comfortable for your flight. In fact, earlier today I saw where they showed on the news where a guy just got up in mid-flight and started banging on the cockpit door. It's on the news. Look it up. They're in the air. It's not where they're on the tarmac. They're in the air, and this guy just got up out of nowhere, according to what I was told or what I saw. He didn't have no issue with anybody else prior to it, but he just got up and decided to bang on the cockpit door. And they wound up bounding his hands and arms, and these are passengers who did it.
Right.
You know, it's a sad state when we look at what folks are, you know, doing these type of actions. But back to the customer service, you know, people act up when you try to give them customer service, when you try to talk to them, when you try to let them know. Employees, and me being one, or I've been one, you know, customers will cuss out the employees like they own the company. This ain't a mom-and-pop store, right?
Right.
But people come to the store and they get mad because you don't have the product that they want, or that they're telling you. I've been standing here in line for almost, I've been in this store for 30 minutes, and it's like, in my mind, I'm like, I saw you walk in. You walked in 5 minutes ago. But you want to go ahead and say 30. Okay, I get it. I get it. You know what I'm saying? I mean, honestly. And
right.
Why do you want to cuss out the employees who are not the CEOs or the store manager? And then now you got store managers who I'm too busy to deal with the customer. You follow me?
Right.
I got stuff that the district supervisor, who tells the upper hand folks to tell me I have to get this done, so I don't have time to converse with this upset manager. Customer. Then what they do is tell the employees, well, this is what you need to tell them. Now, I'm going to be honest. I'm like, I'm not on salary. You all ain't paying me enough to deal with this or customer service. Follow me?
Right.
I'm not a manager. That's not my job description. And every customer who's upset and irate will say, are you a manager? You say no. Well, get me one. What the hell I'm talking to you for? See, that's where I don't get it. I don't get it with these companies of where they want their employees to sit there and take the abuse. You're not paying them enough to take the abuse. There's been times I had individuals cuss me, and I just laugh because in the back of my mind, and I'm biting my tongue, to be honest, like my father used to do. I'm sorry, biting my lip. My father, I knew whenever he was mad, he'd start biting his bottom lip. And I was like, oh, hell, something's going to jump off. When Dad starts biting his bottom lip, something's jumping off. But and I've inherited that same thing from him. But the thing is that where when you get poor customer service, and it's obvious that's one thing, when you get where companies, these Fortune 500s, are cutting down the employment, the hours, the whatever, and everything, and they keep telling customers, we're doing this for you. No, you're not. You're not. You're making it worse.
Right.
Right or wrong?
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Because you're telling me that you're doing it. You know, we're hiring 5,000 people. Okay. Nationwide. All right, that's great. How many hours are they working? They're only going to work about 3 or 4 hours a day and probably times a week.
Well, you know, Mike, a lot of people want the title, but they don't want to do the job. They like the titles and they like the money. I found that out working probation. You know, a lot of those cats want that money, but they don't want the title. I mean, they don't want to do the work.
Right. Oh, I saw that every day. Where I mean, I've seen that many times in my life. My apology, I accidentally hit the button. But you know what? I got an individual who just waved their hand. I had walked away from the board. Let me go ahead and open up their mic. 205-422. That's Myrtle. Myrtle, how you doing?
Hi, Michael. How are you?
I'm fine. You okay? And I know you got something to say about this.
Yeah. I do. I've always worked in customer service, but it's not like it used to be. Now they just train them and put them on the – I work in customer service as far as the telephone. But I've also worked in retail. But now with some companies, they just train them enough to answer the phone, transfer a call without even trying to help the person. So it is crazy. It's crazy. Went to JCPenney's today, couldn't find nobody to help. That's the case. I should have just ordered online. Away from good customer service.
Let me ask you this. Like you said, you've worked in customer service. Okay, so what was one of the worst situations that you ever dealt with? I'm sure you've had many.
Customer service or?
You could take your pick. What was the worst situation that you ever dealt with of where you tried to, you know, just be calm about it? And let's go ahead and throw another wrench into it. And you went to your supervisor and told them about it, you know, and they were like, you know, whatever. But just share with us a little bit about what was the worst thing you ever dealt with? And then... You went back and you said, hey, this is what happened, and then maybe your management didn't back you up or whatever the case may have been, and you don't see no changes in it.
Okay. Well, I have one. I work in with Medicare, so I work with a lot of senior citizens. I don't work for Medicare, but I work with the insurance company, with the Medicare Advantage company. And that was a lady who wanted to, she just came on the plane and she wanted to see a doctor. and she couldn't see the doctor. I understood it might have been like a situation where, you know, needed to follow up from being on another plan. And just trying to get the permission, going to my manager saying, hey, she needs to see this doctor, you know, who do I need to get in touch with, you know, to try to make this happen? And they said, well, tell her she won't be able to see the doctor until the next month or something to that effect. And not doing, you know, that person not knowing what to do for real or who to contact for real. So I can't go back to this lady and say, well, she said, you know, that is time the person's been transferred a lot in mass. So I just usually come up with my own solution. I just usually say, well, ma'am, let me call you back. Let me see what I can do. I just usually come up with my own solution. That's what it's just easier that way. I don't go through management. I don't ask them anymore. I just handle it myself. And they love me for it.
Now,
because
Simon,
the department.
Go ahead. I want Myrtle. Go ahead and finish. I'm sorry, I interrupted her. But go ahead, Myrtle.
The department I'm in, we actually change plans. I'm not customer service per se, so we just change plans. So they talk to somebody before they talk to me, but the people they talk to don't answer their questions. They just send them on over. And like I tell them, when they try to warm transfer, I was like, you got to answer their questions. Why keep on sending these people all over the place? But they're young. They don't understand. They said, well, I don't know. They didn't tell me that. And I'm telling you, you know, it's just crazy. It's crazy. It's a crazy world.
Yeah, that's very true. And it's going to get worse. It's going to get worse. You know, I've seen where individuals who work and are really nice folks, really nice, and due to the company not doing what they claim they do, you know, because to be honest, I mean, I've seen it many a times. They program you to believe the BS. I'm just be honest. They program you to believe the BS. When I say BS, the bullshit. I'll say it. I've worked for a couple of companies where it's funny to me. Let me ask you a question, both of you. When you go to a break room, what is that called? A break room, right?
Right.
So what should not be in the break room as far as media-wise?
Oh, I don't know.
There shouldn't be a television telling you about the company.
Oh.
Now, think about it. And I'm sure I'm not the only one who has experienced it, because I've worked with two of the major companies, and I'm sure there's other individuals who are probably listening have experienced it, where you go take your break, there is a TV in the room, and it's not for you to watch the news or this, that, and the other. It might have been at one point. But what they do, they go ahead and they pipe in what the company wants you to know. This is the break room. Are you understanding what I'm saying? This is the break room. I don't want to hear nothing about the company. I don't want to hear a customer. I don't want to see no video about the customer. I don't want to hear the CEO. I don't want to hear none of that BS.
Well, I had an experience that with you.
Excuse me?
I haven't experienced that one.
No, you haven't, but there's a lot of folks who are. But see, it's all about brainwashing you. In a sense, well, I won't say brainwash, but it's about controlling.
even on your break. Even on your break, you cannot get a break away from the company. And I'm not just talking about my self experience. I know folks who work for other companies who have said, it's the same thing in our break room. I go in there to eat lunch. I have an hour lunch. They got monitors in there where they can, in fact, some companies I know for a fact in the break room, they got monitors in there that show everything about the company. You can't turn the channel, look at no other networks or television or nothing to get away from it, right? It's all piped in. Hi, this is the CEO. My name is Bob Johnson. This is what we need to do to make sure that we meet our goal. What goal are you talking about, Bob? Were you to make more millions or billions of dollars? And you don't give me a raise? Sure, Bob, I'm willing to do it. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's BS. Come on now. Let's be realistic about it. Now, the topic is about customer service, but here's the problem. You can't ask employees to give good customer service. You can't expect the customers to be good customers if the company is programming. They're programming the employees to be this way, and they're BSing the customers to think it's that way. Simon, are you catching what I'm saying?
Yeah. Right.
You
right.
can't do that. I done peeped it out a long time ago, and I just kiki and ha-ha. I'm like, really, you guys? You think nobody's going to see this? You think that the customers and all the employees ain't going to see it? But now you've got them, you know, between a rock and a hard place. I got to have this product, you know, as far as the customer. I got to have this product.
Right.
I got to deal with it. Ain't nobody here to help me. So I got to look for it on my own. Or the employees is where, well, I know the customer cussed me out, but I can't cuss them out because then I'm going to get fired.
Right.
And the manager in charge don't give a damn, and they're going to get mad at me because of that's, I mean, that's how it works.
Right.
And it's so sad. With training as well, Michael, if these people that mm-hmm. they pull off the street and make them customer service reps, it has to do with training and knowledge. And a lot of them don't have the knowledge or the training or, you know,
right.
the mentality to even deal with people.
That's a good point. You're definitely right.
Yeah.
You're definitely right. But let me tell you something that I know from experience. When I was a supervisor on a construction job, because you know that I work construction, I was the foreman on a job site here in Atlanta. There's an area called Red Oak. It's an apartment complex back then, low income. And the company I worked for, they were changing this place into a daycare center. And in order for the company I worked for to get the contract, we had to hire at least one individual that lived at Red Oak. We had to give them an opportunity to work for the company, right? So I had to put out the applications. In fact, it was known all over the complex, and I had the applications there, and people came in and filled them out, right? I had to interview them. I could not believe it. I'm going to be honest with you guys. I mean, no disrespect to my black brothers and sisters, but it was heartbreaking for me to see where here's these young guys come in and fill out an application, and only thing they could fill out was their name, address, and phone number. And some of them were in their 20s. they had no past history of working a job. Not a fast food or nothing.
Wow.
Not one. And I mean, when I'm looking at them, I'm looking at these applications. I'm like, nobody can put down anything. Hell, put down something like, you know, cut grass. I don't care. But nothing. They never had any, and they're in their 20s. You know who I wound up hiring?
Who's that?
It wasn't a brother. It wasn't a man.
What?
It wasn't a man. No. It was a woman.
Watch out, Mike. Watch out.
Only one black woman came in there. Only one now. Came in there and filled out an application. And she lived there. Keep in mind, you have to live in that complex. Only one. She came in there, filled out an application, and I read her resume. And I had to go ahead and do a background check to verify. She was ex-military and had two teenage kids. Now, let me ask you this. What would you have done? Somebody criticized me and said, well, you should have gave one of them younger kids who had no experience a chance to work on the job. I'm like, mm-hmm. No. That's not the way it works.
And what kind of job is this, Mike?
This was in construction, right?
Oh, okay.
Like I said, I was the foreman over the job, and I needed someone who can, you know, as a laborer. It was a labor job. And here's the thing, to be honest. She was making, okay, back then, we're talking about the late 80s. The late 80s. Back then, I think she was making like $10 an hour. But then the fact that her coming through the program, you know, she almost made as much as me because she got,
wow.
I'm trying to think of the term that they use it because they gave it extra more. I can't think of the term because that was back then where by her being a resident, she got an extra amount, right, more assistance. She was almost, I'm not saying she made as much, but she was close to making as much as me, and I'm her boss.
Right.
Because she was in the program, you know, the way they set it up, which I wasn't mad, you know. And she, you know what, and she worked her ass off. She was the first one to be at work. Even the guys who worked for the company would be later than her. Because she knew she was on that program, and she wasn't going to let that go.
Mm-hmm.
So with that being said, but back to the customer service thing, and we got to get back to the music. But it is very important that, and I'm sorry that the screen went dead, and I see folks that are popping up and Bringing It Boy has popped up. Hello, Bringing It Boy. How you doing? Yeah. We went ahead and decided to do the rest of our month here. And you know the number. You can call in. And the topic is about customer service. And so I'm going to play some music. We have another about 45 minutes left on the show. And by the way, next Saturday, we have a special guest, Mr. Cornelius Mims. I want you guys to go ahead and Google Cornelius Corny Mims. He's going to be joining us. He's going to share a lot with us. He is the bassist extraordinaire. I mean, he's played with some of the most amazing artists. And all of you know every artist that he's played for. I don't even want to go into the whole detail about it, but this brother is going to come on. He's got a new single out. In fact, I'm going to play it in a moment. But he's going to come on, and he wants to share and give a testimony about his life. Because a lot of times when he was performing, he was high. And I love the fact that he wants to come on, and, you know, he hollered at me and said, man, I want to come on the show. I want to come on the TMGS. And I'm like, well, okay. And so I'm very honored that he's coming on and want to do so. And Miss Denise L. Wilkerson of the legendary Ladies of Sky. You guys know who Sky is, right? She's going to be pretty much doing the interview and the conversation. So thanks to Denise for agreeing to do so. So look forward to that next Saturday at 6 p.m. Eastern here on the TMGN. But back to the topic. So let me just share this a little bit with you guys. This morning was the worst customer service I ever dealt with. All right. Between Burger King and Diner Dash, I'm like, I'll never order anything to be delivered to my house again. I never will. I'll never order food like that again with all these places. I even went online to order something from a location that's not right down the street, but probably maybe what, I'll say roughly 5, 6 or 7 miles. You know how much they wanted to charge me? $20.
Wow.
$20.
Yeah, my.
But when you're talking about customer service, and you're talking about, but I want you to go ahead and finish out, but. These Uber Eats, this, that, and the other, is supposed to be convenience, right? Where you don't have to go get it. Am I right?
Right.
That's what's supposed to be. Convenience. It's convenient for them to rob you. It really
right.
is. It's convenient for them to rob you. And you get set up in it. Now, prior to the pandemic, it was reasonable, you know. You could call a pizza place and everything. Now, pizza places, in fact, prior to that, pizza places say, I'm sorry, we cannot deliver due to the fact we don't have any drivers. Well, you weren't paying your drivers a damn thing but a dollar. Or I'm sorry, $6 an hour, and they had to depend on tips.
Right.
If you don't get tipped, you ain't making no money. So then here comes the your Uber, your Diner Dashes, or you get your Lyft, whoever. All right. And then when I talk to some of the drivers, they're like, "Hell, we only get like, you know, this trip." It's going to cost me $15. I'm only getting $5 or $6 out of it. Yep, that's right.
Right.
Screwing you. And just recently, they said, not just Uber, but even Lyft, the cost is going to go up. It's going to go up.
Who's going to pay it? They can go up all they want, but they don't know who. You know, Mike, when you look at the price of living and, you know, different things that people are dealing with, okay, because everybody still ain't back on their feet, you know.
Correct.
Folks ain't back on their feet. I don't know where they're going to find this money at, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Where they you need this, you need that. Well, you better find that money.
Well, keep in mind, I said that we're talking about customer service, but here you got all these different things that have come up, and everybody jumped on it, the ones who need it, the ones that use it. You know, I mean, I've even seen where I've watched videos where folks who get stopped by the cops be like, okay, I'll just call an Uber. I'll just call a Lyft to take me home. And there's been situations where the cops be like, yeah, just leave your car parked. And you know that it's only for certain people sometimes, but I'm not going to get into that. But anyway, so they call him, you know, and you know, they go ahead and catch a ride. But the thing is that but this is customer service. But it's not customer service if you're getting robbed and you're getting ripped off. And that's what's happening. You're getting ripped off. I have to go ahead and open up this person who waved their hand, 909-319. I think that might be, well, I'm not going to even guess it, but your mic is open. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Marshall. This is Robert. Well, I like you said, with customer service today is really gone downhill. Now, what I remember what after 9/11 happened, customer service was the best. People actually cared about if you had a situation. They took care of you. If you went to a fast food place, they actually said hello, thank you. You know, everyone was kind. Now we've gone back to where these kids don't give a damn. They want $15 an hour, and they want tips. And they're not going to say thank you or anything. They're just going to – because my thing is after I'm done with the service they give me, I always say – see if they're going to say thank you or something like that, and I'll go, no, thank you. I always say that to them when they don't say nothing after all. And it's just gone downhill.
But can I ask you a question, to be honest? Do you mind sharing a little bit to everybody here about yourself a little bit now? I'm not going to ask you how much money you make, but do you make more than $15 an hour?
Just barely. Now I just barely.
Okay,
make
wait a minute. Hold on. I'm going to put on your brakes. So now you just said, think about, no, hold on. I don't want to mute you. But you said everybody wants $15 an hour. I asked you, do you make more than $15 an hour? And you said what? Can everybody repeat after me? Just barely. So you do. You make more than $15 an hour, right? Okay.
Yes.
So I don't know what just barely is. It might be what, $15 and what, a nickel? $15. Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Maybe more than that. $16, $17, you know, $18. I don't know what you make, and I don't really care. But you do make more than $15 an hour. You clearly said everybody wants $15 an hour based on their job. So can you share with us, what do, if you don't mind, for a living?
I'm a color applicator technician. I work in residential and commercial things. And
you're what? I'm sorry. You kind of mute.
I'm a color applicator technician.
Okay.
In the terms of painter.
Okay. So you're a technician.
Applicator color technician.
Okay. And this is residential work?
Residential and commercial.
And commercial, okay. Okay. All right. Well, I'm happy that you have that craft of skill. Oh, okay, so you studied this, you know this. How long have you been doing this field?
I've been doing it for 18 years now.
18 years? Did you have to go to school for it, or you learn through somebody else? I mean, kind of like educate us. Is this a course that you could take?
I was trained by my employer. My employer trained me on a job.
Okay.
And it became highly skilled.
Okay. So now when you go to work, because the topic is about customer service and being respected when you do your job, do you ever have any issues with your customers?
Never. I can't say. I only had one issue one time. That was about it the whole time I've been working.
Oh, I noticed you went never, but go ahead. I'm listening.
But, yeah, I did. I had to stop because I know that one's going to pop up someday. That's about it. So honestly, I had one of the best customer service attitudes towards my customers.
Okay. Now, I'm gonna throw the ball. Excuse me, into Simon's court for a minute. Simon, you heard what my man just said. Are you familiar with that?
Familiar with what?
With the type of work that he does. Are you familiar with it?
He says he's a painter, right?
Right.
Yeah, he's a painter. Painter. I like to make.
Yeah, I know. I've noticed that you put a little twist on it, but you're a painter. All right. Okay. I get it. All
I
right.
Mean, you know, like a guy saying that he's a sanitation engineer. He's a trash man.
Right. Thank you. Okay. Right.
I have no problem with that. I mean, that's his. If that's the proper title of his profession. Then that's
right.
What it is, you know. And if someone said, "Well, I mean, because really, unless we ask you what that is, you say, okay, man, I'm basically a painter." Oh, okay, gotcha.
Mm-hmm.
And but the guy has been at his job. You said for 18 years, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So yeah, man. Anytime you spend that kind of time, obviously do you like what you do?
No, I enjoy it.
Okay. That works for me. As long as you're enjoying what you're doing and it provides you with a roof over your head and clothes upon your back, and you're able to get from point A to point B, you got good medical?
None, zero.
Yeah, you have zero medical.
But you know what the thing is, though? But you know what? I could have came the same way a few years back. I could have said, if someone would have asked me, well, what do you do? I could have said, well, I'm an interior insulation. I'm an interior insulation wall designing technician. So what are you saying? I hang sheetrock and I put insulation behind the walls. See, so you can say anything.
That's called composite materials. You hang up composite materials. That would be insulation.
I get the big word.
Yeah.
But see, like the thing is that where I was a drywall hanger. In fact,
right.
When I first got into construction, well, my father was well, I'm not going to go into my dad, but my father owned a business himself. And we did acoustical ceilings that ran into the family. We did drop ceilings, which I'm sure you know what that is. But, you know, on his card it said acoustical suspended ceiling system technicians. Right, that's what it said. But in layman's terms, oh, you know how to drop or how to frame ceilings, okay? So, I mean, the words sound great. It looks good. You know, but that's what you are. When I first got into commercial, I mean, I was just a sander. And they tell me, go grab that idiot stick and sand those walls. Right? That was it. They called them idiot sticks. So that was very disappointing, you know, but I had a job. I had to go ahead and deal with that insult. I'm not going to drop that idiot stick and say, you called me an idiot. No, he didn't call me an idiot. He said that idiot stick. But I had a job, right? So a label really don't mean much, you know, to me. What you make is what's important. Now, what you said is about, you know, people want to get $15 an hour. Okay, so the minimum wage is what, $7. How long has $7 and some change been here in America when the price of things have gone up? How long? How many years now?
It has been over 15 years.
No, I'm asking. Anybody wants to answer?
Yeah, I'm going to find out for you because I think it's been over 15 years, if not 20.
Yeah, well, it also depends on what state you live in, because the South is going to be a lot lower than, say, California.
That's true.
And also, you know, minimum, right. I mean, you know, salaries have been stagnating since 1971. So really,
right.
It has not moved. They're trying to make the minimum wage $15 an hour. Now, why are we trying to make it $15 an hour? Well, because that job is being taken by a 40-year-old or 35-year-old today that's working at McDonald's. And said that job used to belong to a senior-old, and the 35-year-old was the manager. Okay, you would never get it. Those jobs, those are summer jobs. Those are summer
jobs. No, wait. Hold on a minute. I'm sorry, Simon, hold on a minute. Let me put on the brakes for a minute. I get where you're going. You're talking about in recent decades, but if you go back in time, those fast foods were not kids. When McDonald's first opened, and if you go back and look at the commercials, okay, John Amos, many celebrities played in the commercials, and that was who was working behind the counters. Your older folks was working in those fast foods. They weren't kids in the beginning.
Mike, when I was in the 80s, Mike, I'm talking about, I'm 50, and I know in the 80s, the majority of those jobs, because remember, guys was having babies in their 20s, and we were all leaving
home.
I'm 59. 17, 18, okay. 19 years old. We were getting out of the house. We weren't trying. Now they stay home. They don't leave till they're 26, maybe 30. We were gone by 17, 18, 19. We were out of the house. So the first job that most people say, if you wanted to get you something to eat, go get your job in a restaurant. So McDonald's, even when you were in high school, summertime, those jobs were going to high school kids. I didn't know no
okay.
guys 22, 23, 24 years old. If they were, they were. They were on their way to becoming managers. But the majority of the kids
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. When those companies first started, when those chains first started, okay, and I go back to, like I said, of where there were older folks in the beginning that were doing those jobs, okay, when it was okay pay, right? But time moved on. Like you said, time moved on. They weren't getting, the raises weren't coming. You know, the money wasn't coming in. But what I'm saying is that where, and then fast food became where this is summer jobs for kids. But initially, and correct me if I'm wrong, you can go ahead and do the research, but there were a lot of adults that were doing those fast food jobs. Because kids didn't know how to cook.
Mike, a lot of the kids, I'm telling you, I work Burger King, I work McDonald's. I know you're a little older than me, but most of the guys that I knew, girls and men, they did not. They were teenagers in high school. Now, you may have had a 22-year-old, maybe a 25-year-old. But the
right,
McDonald's
okay.
today...
Okay.
is 35.
Oh,
that guy
yeah.
is 35 years old. Now you had also the McDonald's used to offer this whole manager program where if you wanted to become a manager, they would send you to school,
mm-hmm.
so you could end up
to
being a manager
college,
and eventually
which was called Hamburger College, right?
Right. Well, you could go on to be a manager, and they would pay your way to school and all that stuff. They offered those programs. Because remember, Mike. A construction worker, when we were younger, the average construction worker when we were younger was 18 to 19 years old. The average construction worker today is 28 years old. So remember in Texas, when all of those pipes burst and they were looking for plumbers, they couldn't find a plumber. Those jobs, because they told them those were shit jobs. You don't want those jobs. Which is the dumbest thing. They thought everybody's going to be on computers. Uh-uh. Like, everybody's not made to go to college. Everybody is not to be made to be on a computer. And you had a lot of guys mm-hmm. who were who could have, they you know, they told them don't go to electrical school or welding school or going to, you know, going to be, you know,
any kind of trade. Right. The bottom line is any kind of trade.
And now they want you to go back to it. Now they're telling everybody to go learn a trade. Okay, but why did you tell us to get away from it? You had kids that were coming out of high school, especially minorities. You had minorities coming out of high school, man, who were chefs, nurses, were 18 years old. You had guys that were could go to vocational school, learn how to be an electrician. Man, they were starting their own business. You had mechanics. You had guys who became, you know, general mechanics at 18, 19 years old.
Right. Okay. So with that being said, and I mean, I think we're straying off the topic, and I apologize that we're straying off the topic, which is customer service. But the thing is that it really ties into all of it, of where and what you just said. You know, a lot of individuals are being swayed away, or have been swayed away from, of learning a trade. Okay. Where you don't have to go to college, you just go to a trade school. A lot of individuals that I know didn't even have to go to school. They learned from their from their father, or maybe their mother, and learned trade, making good money, right? Doing well. Have customers. Have folks who trust in them and everything. Because these are the trades that are definitely in demand today. But the point I'm saying is that where back, what I recall growing up, fast foods were not always young kids. They were adults being the cooks. And then those jobs became where, well, that's a summer job. Now it's a part-time job. Even with your Lowe's and Home Depot type stores, those stores used to have elderly people who had experience and knowledge to share with you when you walk into that store about what you're working on. Because remember, Home Depot used to have your, in fact, that was their slogan, your do-it-yourself store. I remember a story of where an individual got fired because a customer asked for some help or to do something. He said, well, you see, it's a do-it-yourself store. They fired him, and then they had to turn around, pay him for the lawsuit, and rehire him. And you notice, and if you think about it now, Home Depot did have that on their stores, your do-it-yourself store. And he was right. They took all those signs down because it's not a do-it-yourself. Right?
Well, that's a great point.
I just want to say that. That's where, you know, a play on words. He took advantage of that. And they said he was wrong, but no, that's what it says. I'm not trying to be funny about it, but I'm just saying that where, you know, there's always a play on words. So they knew, let's take these signs down nationwide. All right, so they did that. But the bottom line I'm trying to get to is this, is that where a lot of the stores where we go back to customer service, you bring in these kids. And I remember when I've worked in construction almost all my life, and you bring in young kids. Now, when I first started with Home Depot, I used to have to go to classes, and there was an instructor. And I would spend 8 hours, and him telling me about the department I worked in, which was millwork, which is windows, doors, blah, blah, blah. I had to learn all the product, all the name brands, this and the other. Whenever we had a question, even my instructor would say, you know, let me do some research, and tomorrow I'll have an answer. But now everything is web-based. Everything is on a computer. A computer does not talk back. It just talks to you. You follow me? So you're still not getting the training that you need. And a lot of customers are upset because
these young individuals who've never picked up a hammer in their life have no clue what they're doing. They just throw them out there. They tell them the basics and just go, now get on out there and help that customer and bring up some damn money. And then these veteran plumbers, electrician, this, that, and the other, come in, and they use certain, in fact, I'll tell you for a fact, I even worked for an automotive store, and the guy came in and said, hey, I need a dog bone. I'm like, a what? A dog bone. You don't know what a dog bone is? I'm like, well, visually, I'm thinking about a bone that a dog chews on, like, you know. He's like, man, where do you guys get these folks from? They don't know what a dog bone is. And I say that for the fact that the term is not passed down to an individual who's really working with folks who have more knowledge than them.
Well,
but they got a certain way.
Mike, would you like to
But let me finish. But here's the thing. You have individuals working in stores, and the stores are not training them to a point they have a general understanding of where they work and the product that they're working with. They're not doing that. Am I wrong? Because
no,
you already said.
You're dealing with old school, new school. It's like in my job right now, working in probation. You know, my probation facility has 130 kids now. When I started, we had 1,100. They don't do the same structure I do. They're trying to be the kid's friend. I was not his friend. I kept everything.
Oh, no,
I understand your rental, but I'm tying it to your thing. I'm talking about what you're doing. What you're saying, you got two different lingo. You got an old school lingo. So when that guy asks you, hey, man, you know what a bone, you don't know what a bone is? Okay, that's because you didn't grow up when you wasn't doing all that. Now, maybe your father would have known what he was talking about, but you didn't know. Because why? There's a new lingo. There's a new
but
way.
You got,
You got people who don't want to change. You know what? And you got a good point.
You got a good point. So I'm glad that you said a new lingo. Well, you know what? Look at stores now where they're hiring people who can speak different languages, because for the fact that if you go into any Home Depot or Lowe's or any store that is dealing with customers who speak a certain language, guess what they do? They want somebody at the pro desk who can speak that language.
Right.
They want somebody who can communicate in English and Spanish. And if they could, if someone comes in there that only speaks an Asian language, they'll have someone down there too. And no disrespect,
right.
Don't get me wrong. But the thing is that where it's about not knowing the product, it's about being able to communicate with the person and knowing what they want. Even though you don't know what the hell they're talking about, maybe they can find someone that they can speak English to and say, well, he said something about blah, blah, blah. Oh, okay, I know what he's talking about. You follow me?
Yeah, I know.
But it's not about educating them about where they work, customer service, but imagine you have someone in a store that has no knowledge about the product, no knowledge, and they're trying to communicate. You know, that's a problem. That's a problem. And I'm sure many customers, which I've seen many of times, get frustrated because you got to find somebody to speak that language, someone to understand what's going on, this, that, and the other. I've seen that stuff many a time.
And then if you cannot communicate with the customer, you might have lost thousands of dollars. You might have lost. So I get it. I get what companies are doing. They want to make sure they understand what you're talking about to try to go ahead and sell that product, which I'm talking about stores. And that's how come they're doing what they're doing now. And I get it. They don't want to lose that money. But still, again, you've got to give that knowledge. And like you said, that is the difference between a person who's old school and a person who's new school or don't understand what the old terminology of that certain party. But it's still the same. There are still individuals right now today who will walk into an automotive store or into any kind of store and use a different term of a certain product, and you probably say, what? And they'll look at you crazy like, you don't know what I'm talking about? I'm going elsewhere. But you gotta be versatile. You know, you gotta be. It's just like if they asking someone to, and it goes back to customer service. You gotta take what was said back in the old days is still used today.
Well, also, Mike, you know what? Dealing with the public is never easy.
I mean,
you try to sometimes, you know, like you said, the guy says to you, you don't know what that is. And as long as you stay calm, you know, sir, I don't. Maybe it's called another name. Maybe I'm going to say about a professional name that it might be called. You know, do you know what's the other name for?
There's somebody trying to chime in. I want to let them have a chance to go ahead and say what they got to say. We got 15 minutes left on this show, and I definitely want to play some of these songs.
Okay. I just wanted to intercede and say, as far as the customer service goes, you know, they do train by video. They used to do it back when I started working at Del Taco at 16 years old, but I used to mow lawns and have a paper route and everything else because I wanted my own money growing up. But anyway, so I always took the initiative. And, you know, if I didn't know the product very well, then I was taught, you know, if I brought it to my parents as far as, I don't know, you know, people are asking me stuff. I don't know where to find this or where to find that. And they're like, well, you just tell them, look, I'm sorry, I don't know what that is, but I will find you somebody who does know where that product is or what that product is. If you just give me 1 second, I'll be right with you. And you got to go and find somebody that's your senior to help them out so the customer is happy because you want to keep that customer coming back so you can keep having a job. And so that's what it always was, you know, and thank you and have a nice day and put your best smile on and that type of thing, and people appreciate it. But it was always a customer-oriented thing. If I didn't know what it was that they were looking for or what they were talking about, if you could just give me 1 second, I will find somebody who can help you. You know, so this way the customer at least knows that they're being paid attention to and that they may get what they're asking for. But nowadays, it's like, well, I don't know what that is. And they just stand there and they're like, well, like, okay, well, is there a manager or somebody else around that can help me then? Let me see. You're just left standing there, and you're thinking, okay, well, this person just took off. I don't know where they went. Been waiting here for a bit, so, yeah, I'm going to go someplace else now because they just left me hanging. You know, they can't get an order right. You order a burger with no cheese. It's the only order with no cheese, but they can't get it right. They put cheese, and if you're allergic to dairy, that causes a problem. So you get to go take your order back. And then they look at you, and they're like, okay, so what would you like me to do? Well, I probably would like a new burger. Here's the burger that you gave me, and I would like the burger that I ordered. That would be great. Thank you. That's customer service. It's courtesy. It's having manners. It's being respectable to people. It's your job. That's what you're being paid for, and yet you want to be paid more money. And I'm talking young adults, not even teenagers, just young adults even. There's just a level of respect for their job. The attitude is more, you're lucky I'm here today, rather than I'm grateful I have a job today. And that the initiative, when you take initiative, you move up. That's when you start seeing the raises. That's when you start seeing the promotions. But if you're not willing to take that initiative, well, then you stay where you're at. And if you stay where you're at, you can't complain about it because you didn't do anything about it. Anyway, that's all I just want to say. Thank you.
You're welcome. Appreciate your input. I want to go ahead and play a track real quick. We got about 10 minutes to go because this was really about, you know, just getting into this topic briefly. I didn't know it was going to go this long because technically I hung up my mic, but I appreciate you guys chiming in and sharing your thoughts on this. Customer service, do you get it? And as which was said, certain things about being paid certain amount of money. Hey, look, the minimum wage got to go up because here's my point of view. In fact, I'm going to hold that and I'm going to go ahead and play this. Here's Shalimar with my friend. All three of them are my friends. I love them dearly. Here's their single, The Real Thing. We'll be right back and we're going to shut it down and we'll get ready for next week with our special guest, Mr. Cornelius Corny Mims, with your special host, Miss Denise L. Wilkinson of the legendary Ladies of Sky, will be joining us next Saturday, so make sure you tune in. We'll be right back.
Oh,
written, produced, and performed musically by the legendary Mr. Oh my God, Leon Silvers III. That's the Real Thing, performed by Shalimar, Howard Hewitt, Jeffrey Daniels, and Carolyn Griffey. Hey, you guys, check that out. They got some new stuff coming your way, so make sure you look it up. Purchase and buy online. And we down to 6 minutes left on the show. You know, I did not plan on having a long, drawn-out topic because, as you all know, last week was our 50th anniversary show, being an independent show, and we have this last month to go to do more for a little while. Now, I'm not dropping the mic in a sense. I'm just hanging it up for a little while. But thank God I have some shows that I'm lining up where, as I said before, next Saturday, our special guest is going to be Mr. Cornelius Corny Mims. This brother has played for so many fantastic artists on their music, on their tours, and he has a lot to share. Please don't miss this show. It's going to be awesome. All right? Trust me. It's going to be awesome. In fact, I think I'm going to give you a little bit of his music before we get out of here. But, Timon, go ahead. Share your information before we go. I know that L.A. is opening up. What's happening and what you got coming up in L.A. for the listeners out there? Timon's still here? Timon, you there?
Oh, there I am. Can you hear me, Mike?
Go ahead.
Yeah, I have three shows actually coming up. June 12th, doing a show, a comedy and poetry show in L.A. And then on June 13th, I'll be at the Hollywood Comedy Club. And then June 18th, I will also be at the Hollywood Comedy Club, which is in Hollywood, off of Cahuenga and Melrose. You can get me, you can find information on my Twitter, Timonship, Twitter account, Timonship at Instagram, or Timonship at Facebook. You can also get my book, My East St. Louis, which is on Amazon.com, as well as my comedy CD, Universal Brother, which is on CD Baby or Spotify. Also, to let you know, Mike, that book has been turned into a sitcom. So we have finally got that.
Congratulations.
Yeah, the pilot. I got the pilot script and everything. Two great. It's one couple, comedy couple, did the work for me and took my book and turned it into a sitcom. So we got, another one to add to the drama script I already have. So, which things are coming along with that too. So, yeah.
Fantastic. Okay, I want to go ahead and I see that, Myrtle has dropped. So the Bringing Your Boy family, go ahead and share what you might have going on. In fact, what's going on with you guys? And thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having us on the show again. And all we have to say is, unfortunately, we're not going to get our mask off our faces yet. The governor is extending our mask mandate, so for another probably past June 16th and then on. So we're trying to recover from that at the moment.
So we'll see what happens. All right. So you guys are hanging in there, right?
Yeah, we are. Right. I do a podcast on Tuesdays at 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on Spreaker. So
okay, I got your number, so I'm gonna contact you if you don't mind, and so I can make sure I don't miss it. Okay. All right. So I got less than 90 seconds. I got to get out of here. Hey, make sure you tune in next Saturday. Cornelius Corny Mims will be the guest, and the one and only Miss Denise L. Wilkerson of the legendary Ladies of Sky will be your host. And God bless you guys. And we'll talk to you, or they'll talk to you next Saturday. It's the TMGN, the Michael Gay Network. And we'll talk to you soon. Peace.
And I learned that, and I know today that I need that real alignment, man, you know, to keep walking like I'm going somewhere in this camp, man. Because my special guest, man, is devastating in my head, you know?
Lost the Attic. You crazy for this one, bro.
Hey, check this out, y'all.
Hey.
This one goes out to all those people out there that might be suffering and looking for a new way to live.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Here we go.
You put one foot in front of the other. Come on, my sister, my brother, and just walk.
That's right.
There really ain't nothing to it. I know damn well you can do it. You just walk. Into this new way of life, guaranteed to get you right. Hey, like you're going somewhere. Check it out. I know that life gets hard, but you can't put down your guard.